This is EG's Tomorrow's Leaders podcast. In this episode, three young and ambitious industry professionals who make up the board of YEP, or the Young Entrepreneurs in Property, explain why they are pretty sure they run the best networking group in the industry.
And it's the only organisation that exists that spans the whole of the property sector.
Plus, how and why, 15 years after it was first established, they have turned YEP into a registered profit-making company.
Last year, we decided to form a board in September of 2016. So we're a year into that process. And we have started three further chapters. So we now have a chapter in the UAE, we have a chapter in Manchester and a chapter in Cambridge, and they've all been launched within the last 9 months. We are now in the process of trying to start another 11 chapters.
Of course, as is keeping with this podcast series, we dig deep to find out some little known facts about our guests.
I love horse riding. I'm a very avid boxer.
Until I was 17, I was actually at a professional football club.
I'm quite partial to a bit of karaoke. I have a habit of dragging people pre-conferences and things to karaoke box on Baddock Street.
Not least, their favourite emojis.
Yeah, poo face. I love poo face.
Any particular reason?
It's just cute and funny. I don't know, and I guess I never really got past the age of 12.
We have a chat about long-term plans for YEP, and the trio who have got this networking business down pat share some of their most valuable do's.
Sometimes you just have to take a deep breath and you walk over and you go, "Hi, I'm Sophie. You know, what's your name?" Or if you know who they are, say, I really wanted to meet with you. I know that you've been involved in X and Y. Just really keen to have a chat. And most people will engage.
Great.
So it's, "Hi, I'm Sophie."
You don't, obviously you can use your own name.
And don'ts.
I always struggle with table-based events where you end up talking to the two people sitting next to you, and perhaps not having the opportunity to move around and speak to different people. And that's something that, you know, inevitably that you do go to those types of events. But what, they're fun and they're enjoyable, but do you get enough out of it from a, you know, what you put into it?
Enjoy. I'm Rebecca Kent. Welcome to EG's Tomorrow's Leaders podcast. I've got in here with me today the three board members from YEP Global. And so I'm speaking to Johnny Clayton, who's the chairman of YEP, and you're also a partner at Bidwells.
That's right, yes.
Hello, Johnny.
Hi.
And we've got Sophie Eastwood as well, who's the managing director of Holistic, a property PR and marketing firm. And Angelica Donati, co-founder of Housen, which is a prop tech company based in the residential letting space.
Yes, hi.
So, hello, welcome all three of you, and thanks very much for joining us in the studio. Now, it's great to have you along because we're going to talk about YEP Global. Hopefully, you're going to explain to all our listeners what YEP stands for. It's not YEP as in YEP and no, it's YEP as in it's an acronym. And about the journey YEP has taken from 2002 to now a for-profit membership company. Right, so I mean, what does YEP stand for? Let's start at the basics.
So Young Entrepreneurs in Property, and it's the only organisation that exists that spans the whole of the property sector. So whereas there are lots of organisations which have specific events for surveyors and things like that, we try and bring everybody together in one place so that they can network and do business and share contacts.
And so how did it all start?
So it was started in 2002, and the three people who founded YEP were from different strands of the property industry. So there was an agent, an architect, and a lawyer who founded YEP. And the reason they founded it was because they were struggling to find opportunities to cross-network within the industry. There were lots of profession-related networking events out there, so for lawyers or for, you know, agents or for surveyors. But unfortunately, there was nothing that out there they found for younger people to be able to go and meet other people they might do business with, and that's why they founded YEP in the first instance.
Tell me about the journey and how you all got involved.
So I'm probably the oldest and therefore the earliest YEPer. So I got involved with YEP about 7 or 8 years ago. And I was on the committee for a couple of years and then took over as chair. Basically was involved in YEP thereafter until Johnny basically formulated the board and thought that I could bring something to the party, especially in terms of my communications background and just raising the profile of YEP amongst our members and potential members, effectively.
And what's the definition of entrepreneur?
I think in the context of YEP, entrepreneur means more your mindset than your profession. So not every member of YEP is an entrepreneur in the sense that they own their own business, but everybody is entrepreneurial in the way they approach their line of business and their membership to YEP.
And getting underway with this interview, by the way, I've completely forgotten to ask you about some very interesting facts about yourselves, just so our listeners, you thought you got away with it, didn't you? Just
yes.
So our listeners can get to know a little bit more about you. So, Angelica, we'll start with you. Tell us something
God.
We don't know.
I love horse riding. I'm a very avid boxer.
Do them at the same time?
I sometimes punch the horse. No, I horse ride on weekends and box during the week. So those are my two sports.
Any of them competitive?
No. I used to be a competitive swimmer when I was younger, when I was growing up, but then life took over and no, it's just hobbies.
All-round athlete.
One tries.
Yeah, excellent. And do you want to tell us what your favorite emoji is?
Do I have to?
Well, you definitely have to. So
okay.
We did this in our very first EG Tomorrow's Leaders podcast, and it went down an absolute storm. So we're introducing it.
You'll have to tell me if anybody else has my emoji then.
Okay.
The poop emoji. It's funny.
Yeah, she's got eyes on it.
It's poo face, isn't it?
Yeah, poo face. I love poo face.
Any particular reason?
It's just cute and funny. I don't know, and I guess I never really got past the age of 12.
So, well, Johnny, what's your favourite emoji?
I don't use emojis very often. Probably the only one I use is the clapping hands emoji, because it can be used positively and it can also be used sarcastically.
Like, hurry up.
Someone who's done, who's made a comment that's not particularly funny or done something stupid. So, yeah, that's probably my...
And what can you tell us about yourself?
Well, as everybody always gives a sort of sporting-related... claim to fame about this, I'm going to do that. So until I was 17, I was actually at a professional football club, and I was offered a professional football contract when I was 17, and I went on to go to university instead, assuming that I'd have the opportunity to maybe pursue that at a later date. And my dad said to me, there's no money in football. Get a proper career. And
Dad.
Not regretting that now, although I probably wouldn't have made it very far. But so that's my claim to
fame. Wow, and Angelica and Sophie here shaking their heads going, I didn't even know that. You kept that one
quiet,
didn't you? And for whereabouts and which
not
football
Not a particularly
club?
Good football club, but it was Notts County.
Okay.
Like a third division club now, so
right.
There you go. That's all I've got.
Very good. Okay, and Sophie, what have you got?
So my interesting fact, I'm going to do a silly one because most people will expect that, and then a more serious one. So the silly one is that I'm quite partial to a bit of karaoke, and I have a habit of dragging people pre-conferences and things to karaoke box on Baddock Street. So hopefully some people who've been listening may have come along. I'm not very good at it, but I do love it. Sweet Caroline was one of the best renditions with a bunch of Americans who came over for a conference, the SOR conference in June last year. And the other one that's a bit more, I've got massively into HIIT workouts, and Millionaire Hoy on YouTube, if I'm allowed to plug him, his workouts are insane, but they're brilliant, and it means you can eat whatever you want, whenever you want.
Excellent. I've never heard of Millionaire Hoy before.
Check him out.
Okay.
It's hard. You like burpees.
Right. Well, and your favourite emoji?
So the emoji I love the most is probably the sideways laughing one. But the emoji I probably use the most is the slightly gritted teeth one, because I like to be quite sarcastic, and that way you can get away with it.
I should use the clapping hands.
I will use the clapping hands.
All right, let's get back to what we're here to talk about. So YEP. What's the future looking like for YEP?
So last year we decided to form a board in September of 2016. So we're a year into that process, and we have started 3 further chapters. So we now have a chapter in the UAE, we have a chapter in Manchester and a chapter in Cambridge, and they've all been launched within the last 9 months. We are now in the process of trying to start another 11 chapters in the England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland. So we are rapidly expanding. We've gone from a single committee in London of about 16 people up to over 60 people now who are involved with the app. So it's growing very quickly, and the plan is by the end of 2018 we will have 14 chapters in the UK, Ireland and Dubai.
How are you going about expanding?
So we have at the moment 5,000 people who are registered with us on our database. We have approximately 3,500 in the UK and 1,500 in Dubai. So we've formed partnerships this year with several not-for-profit partners, including Estates Gazette, also Centre for Cities and Land Aid as a charitable partner. And the plan is to roll out a series of events in London of approximately 24 events next year that the committee here will be running. And we're also in conversations with the British Property Federation about a similar arrangement to potentially put on 4 events with them next year. So we've done one already in February of this year, which was very well received. We had approximately 250-300 people who attended the event, and we want to do some further events with them next year.
Great. And what about the sort of core organising group? How many guys do you have?
So YEP has always been run by committee. So the London committee, which is the longest running one, has, I believe, around 14 people sitting on the committee. And what we did about a year ago when we decided to create a corporate structure for YEP was to try and make it a bit more formal in order to have a board, which is comprised of the 3 of us, which sits above the committees and allows for expansion to other cities. So YEP was always a London-only organization until Johnny had the idea of forming a company and a board for the sole purpose of creating expansion across the cities in London and then abroad. So every city will find people who want to join YEP and form a committee. They have between 8 and 12 people on each committee, and they run the day-to-day activities, so events, etc., whereas we as a board deal with the funding and partnerships and large-scale events, which cover all kind of all the regions.
I think as well that the UK is a lot, well, it sounds obvious, but the UK is a lot bigger than just London. And not being from London, but loving London at the same time and having lived here for 10 years, I moved out to start a team within Bidwells based in Cambridge, and we work all over the south, all over England at least. And it felt like a sensible move because we wanted to take it out to places like Manchester, to places like Cambridge, Birmingham, Glasgow, and Dublin, lots of other cities out there where there are thriving property scenes. And YEP really has only ever focused on London. Much like the UK economy.
Was it necessary to become a company in order to grow?
I think there are an increasing number actually that have started to create sort of limited companies to do networking. A lot of the women-only groups, for example, are limited companies. I think for us it was about professionalising YEP and giving it the impetus it needed to grow, and that meant having people that were fully committed to its development and to its growth. Obviously with the support of the committees, who, we couldn't do it without them, and they do an amazing job in putting on events across the country. Mm. But it was just to give it that big drive, really.
Mm. And what does that mean for your time? How do you find yourselves dividing your time between your day jobs and sitting on the board?
It's a balance.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say we feel stretched, but, we all believe in this.
In it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a tough process. I think the last year in particular, getting everything set up, it's been a lot of weekends and evenings and, as our free time we've been taking up doing it. But we're at this point now, and I think it's starting to pay off. Extracting ourselves as a board from one single committee was probably the hardest thing. And we almost sit now in a position where we're overseeing all of the different chapters. But we want them all to feel like all the chapters have very much their own unique identity and they run themselves. We don't interfere hugely other than giving some general guidance across what they can and can't do. Mm. But they operate very independently, and I don't think it would work if they didn't, because they wouldn't give up their free time if they, you know, it's not like their day job. It's something that they can really take hold of and run with, and they're very independent when they sit on the committee, all the different committees.
I think also the other thing I'd add to that is that, having been on the committee and been a chair, some of the relationships that I forged when I was involved in that are now clients of mine. So it's about creating a way for, whether you're a member or a part of a committee, you get the opportunity to meet people you otherwise wouldn't. And even though they might not be able to give you work now, if you sustain those relationships over the longer term, they can be really beneficial for their future careers.
And I think that's kind of the special touch that YEP has for all, not just the committees, but people who come to the events, because they're all meeting at this, when they're all relatively junior within their companies, and they still need to build their careers, and then they all grow together. So you end up having connections across different classes, across different professions, throughout the UK, just by virtue of being part of YEP.
And it's really friendly networking. It's not like going into a very experienced, mature crowd when you're very young and having to work a room, because everybody's in the same boat. So certainly for me, my experience of it was, it's really friendly, and the relationships I've got as a result of it are really strong because of that.
Tell me some of the best events you put on, the ones that you thought were most successful, the most interesting events.
The summer party is really popular.
We did an event 2 years ago. We decided we mainly do large events with big corporate firms. So we work with people like some of the big law firms, like the likes of Allen & Overy and Nabarro. The other 2 years ago, we decided to do things slightly differently. We went and we booked a really amazing venue in the middle of Shoreditch on Hoxton Square called the Doll's House. And we had four floors of the venue, and we had a theme on each floor, and the venue held 300 people. And at the time we thought, well, are we going to be able to sell 300 tickets for an event in Shoreditch to the property crowd? And it was a bit of a, you know, on a wing and a prayer, you might say. And in actual fact, within a week and a half, we'd sold over 200 tickets, and all of the property crowd came up, people we know from, you know, from the city, from South Bank, from, you know, the Holborn area where we are today, out to the West End. People all came up to Shoreditch, and we had an amazing evening. We had caricatures, we had live music, we had speakers on the roof, we had barbecues, we had a whole series of different activities happening in the building, and people loved it. So that for us was a bit of an acid test as to whether we'd be able to put an event on of that size. And since then, we've done three or four further events of at least 300 people. So we know that we can pull a crowd, which is a good sign.
So what do young people want then in a networking event? Why do you think that one was so successful?
I think everybody works hard in the property industry. It's a statement of fact, but that people don't work, it's not a 9-to-5 job. And people will put the hours in, people will work into the evening, people will work weekends, to get ahead, and that's what you have to do. And I think if you're going to give your free time up in the evening to go to an event, you don't want to go somewhere stuffy. You want to go somewhere where you actually want to go, and you want to meet with people who are like-minded and people that you have something in common with. And I think that's what we do. I think a lot of people come to our events because they have genuine friends and people in the industry that they know very well. And that's something that we offer, which perhaps some of the other, perhaps more corporate networking that's out there doesn't offer.
I also think that the calibre of speakers that we're able to attract, because we're a younger audience, so people who have spent a lot of time in the industry, have lots of wisdom they can impart, are really willing to give up their time to come and talk to young people and give them the benefit of their knowledge.
How do you encourage diversity, gender diversity, diversity of jobs and disciplines in the industry? How do you make sure that your events have that?
We don't really encourage a particular, you know, demographic at a particular event. It's, if you look at the committee, take Manchester or Cambridge or London, they are, I look at it as though if you were putting a project team together for a major project, you'd want an agent, you'd want a lawyer, you'd want a project manager, a QS, an architect, you'd want a whole suite of different professions. And that's what our committees are made up of. So the way that the events are created, naturally fits our audience, because the people who are organising the events are a cross-section of the industry. So we don't really try to force an audience, I guess. We don't try to manipulate who turns a particular event. If we hold an event at Nabarro, there will inevitably be a lot of lawyers at the event. It's just the way it goes. But there will always be a mix. I don't think we've ever had an event where we've turned up and it's been all agents or it's been all designers, or there's always something in it for everybody. So,
and the same goes for gender. So our committees are pretty evenly divided between women and men, and the events are as well.
And I think the industry too is that when I first started out 18 years ago, there were far fewer women in the industry, full stop. And I think that's changed enormously, which is a great plus.
And of course, it helps that there's only one man on the board.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm outnumbered.
You are outnumbered.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the key events you've got coming up. What does your membership and potential members have to look forward to?
So we have another 8 events in London this year. We have an event in Cambridge coming up at Northwest Cambridge, which is a site visit, site tour of a major expansion to Cambridge, which our Cambridge branch are putting on. So that's going to be site tours, speakers, the developer will be there talking about the site. We will have the planners and the project managers there. We've got events coming up in London, including a tech event, which will take place in the end of September. We also have a sport event, which we've never done before, which is, you know, these things are popping up everywhere, like virtual golf and Flight Club and Bounce, and the newest one on the market seems to be axe throwing.
Yes.
No.
So we
I
now
really
have
want to do that.
We have an axe throwing event.
Wow.
In a few weeks' time. So there's all sorts going on. Manchester are just about to launch their next event as well. So plenty to look forward to this year.
And Johnny mentioned earlier about the BPF events that we're doing. So our next one with them will be in the early new year, and is going to focus on the younger people that are really making a huge difference to the property sector, which should be quite interesting.
And, I mean, that sounds brilliant. That sounds like a really fun sort of lineup of events. And what do you have to do to become a member?
So you can always just sign up and then pay per event. And then we have two membership packages.
Well, we've slightly changed. So we have two. We did have three offers for people. We've now got either a paid option or a free option. The paid option will be £180 a year, and you get a 10% discount off all our events. There's a donation that goes to Land Aid for every person who signs up as a member as well. And you will also get offers to other events, such as BPF events, before the rest of the wider audience. So we wanted to offer people the opportunity to, you know, sign up, pay one fee for the year, and then that should be your networking for the year. I know in my team, you know, people always come to me and say, I want to go to a networking event. Can you sign this off? Can you sign that off? And it's much easier, in my view, if there's a diverse range of events that an organisation is offering, where you, at the start of the year, you say, right, you get 6-8 events to go to with the app. Here's your fee. That's you. That's a large proportion of your networking and educational CPD for the year.
Do you think there's only enough space in the property industry for a certain number of property networking groups to be established, or is there room for more?
I would say first step, join YEP, and then if
of course you would,
and then create and maybe have a specific event within the YEP structure, because we are super flexible. I mean, our events range, like Johnny was saying, there's sports events and there's site visits, and there's we dive very deep into specific topics and also do very generic things. So
were you ever concerned, or have you ever been concerned about saturation in the market and who, you know, the sort of other networking groups you're competing against?
We don't really compete against anybody. If anything, there are synergies with the other organisations. So if you've got, the RSS Matrix, for example, that's young surveyors. They could equally learn valuable lessons from going to Matrix as they could from YEP, but it'd be a different experience. We haven't yet come across anyone else that's doing a similar thing that's all about the breadth across the industry.
No, I don't think there is. And I don't think there's any other organisation that has the gender balance we have at events. Without forcing the gender balance, we don't do that. We just put tickets out there, and we seem to get as many women as men buy the tickets, which is great.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people also do both. So you, for example, might do, I don't know, women in property if you're a woman, but you also go to YEP
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of flexibility there. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not, I don't think, Sophie's right, there's no competition, but it's more complementary.
Which is how the BPF relationship came about, because we thought we could do something really good together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'd be open to more of those.
Yeah, exactly.
It's incredible, I think, that if I'd have had a conversation with myself 15 years ago when I got into the property industry, the first thing I would have said is, you know, learn to be very good at what you do, because there's no substitute for being, you won't get very far if you're not, you know, talented at what you do and professional and work hard. But there is this extra 10%, I think, and that is getting out there and getting to know people and building your network. And, you know, I didn't do that for the first 5 years of my career. I started a bit late. I meet people now at events who are 25, 26 years old, and they've got incredible networks. And I think when I was their age, I didn't have that. And where will they be, you know, when they get into their 30s and 40s? They you know, these people are going to be the new leaders of the industry. And they may not realize it now, but 10 years time, they will look back and they will say, actually, I'm so glad that I did that then. Because that's the opportunity, you know. You're freer when you're younger, you've got more energy. Yeah. And there's lots that's of young, ambitious people out there.
And why, why didn't you do that when you were younger? Do you think there was less of an emphasis?
I think for me, because I always worked in architects' practices, and my experience of working in architects' practices, that, you know, they're great places to work. You meet some fantastic, talented people, but it's one profession that perhaps doesn't encourage networking. You're encouraged to go to CPDs and things that will develop your skill sets, but perhaps networking is seen as something that the senior people do. Mm. And I was never really encouraged to do it, to be honest. And in fact, one of the first people I met who got me involved was Sophie. When I was about 10, 12 years ago, when I was working in architects in South London, and I started coming to YEP events, and then I started going to other networking events, and it's sort of grown from there. And I think I look at some of the people I met when I first started going to YEP events, and the way people's careers have gone, and, you know, lots of people I met who were, you know, like I was, you know, making the tea and, you know, doing the odd jobs around the office, and now they're partners and directors and, you know, setting their own businesses.
How about you?
Well, yeah, I know, yeah. Well, yeah. I suppose there's a bit of, yeah. That it does work. but yeah, it's. I think if you're talented and you're professional, you will get a long way. But I think, as I say, that added extra is your connectivity within the industry and the way you sell yourself. It will always, always stand you in good stead.
And I think a lot of people, when they're young, they're a bit daunted by going to kind of the big networking events with a lot of senior people, because, I mean, we've all been there. You go there, you're the junior kid in the room, nobody talks to you, and then you leave. But when you have, like we said, when you're interacting with people at your same level, it's a much friendlier environment, much easier to meet people, and it's just a good training ground. And you're meeting people who will grow as you grow, and they'll be from being errand boys to being partners.
And you can always turn up to one of your events and ride a bucking bull. Was it a reindeer, which is what I did once at a YEP event. Any more plans for those?
No, you spoiled that one for us back in the
day. Well, I had a great time. Right. Do you think, and Angelica, you're in tech, do you think our use of technology will ever replace or compete with the need to network face-to-face?
Well, see, the thing is, I don't think that you can ever truly replace human interaction. I think technology is supposed to be a complement for that, but not a replacement. So we always talk about, in PropTech, one of the big debates is what's going to be the next big thing. And there's a lot of talk about AI. Artificial intelligence. And what we think is actually that intelligence augmentation, so IA, so technology which helps human interaction, helps make you more productive rather than replaces you, is the way forward. So I don't think human interaction will ever be replaced, and it shouldn't be, but I think it can be greatly enhanced.
Mm. And have you thought about how to integrate technology into your...
We have, actually, and that's one of the things, one of kind of our big goals for YEP over the next couple of years, and one of the reasons why we also set up the company and turned it into a for-profit organization. We want to build an international network for young entrepreneurs in property, kind of like a Facebook or LinkedIn, but for young people, young entrepreneurs in the property industry. The goal is to basically create this at a global scale. And yeah, we just need to raise enough funds so as to be able to develop it and then roll it out across the world.
We're talking to some people at the moment in the States. We've had conversations with people in the Far East as well. So that has begun, but the next phase really is the UK and Ireland, because we don't want to bite off too much more than we can chew at this point in time.
Mm. And you know, organising events, and I know can be a fraught business sometimes. There must have been moments where you thought a particular event will never get off the ground, or...
I think for me it was when we had our BPF event, and for the first time we were just doing something completely on our own, because usually it's the committees who organise events and we kind of deal with everything else, but the BPF partnership is something we've brokered, and so it was the three of us organising everything with the fantastic help of the BPF team and Alan and Aubrey that sponsored the event. And I think we all remembered how hard it was to actually organize an event, because it's been so long since any of us had to actually get down and dirty with it. So that was a nice challenge.
They were, I mean, the guys who organize the events on the committees, they do work very, very hard on the events, and they're very passionate about the events. And, you know, typically there'll be a person who will lead the event. So they'll be the pioneer, and then people will support them. You know, for example, today they're all out playing golf. So we have our annual golf day.
I saw that come up on Twitter actually.
Yeah. So I didn't go, which means it will probably go a lot smoother than me hitting it around in the bushes. But so every event is pioneered usually by one or two people, and then they're supported. But it's amazing how much work goes into it. You'll probably appreciate that with your EG Question Time events that you're organising at the moment. So.
Mm. Okay. And are there any other things that we should talk about with regards to you?
So right now there's three strands really we're working on as a board. The first one is expansion, which we've talked about. The second is the membership offer to our members, offering them a full yearly membership offer. And the final piece of the jigsaw is to try and bring on board some corporate partners to support us and help us to grow. And also from their perspective, we believe we're a good offer in terms of a marketing opportunity for those organisations. And a lot of them already have up to 70 members of YEP already. So we have seven organisations who have over 50 people sign up as members. And we have over 50 organisations who have 10 or more YEP members. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we will be organising a partner event on the 25th of October, and we will be inviting the top 50 firms from the property industry to that event, and we will be talking to them about opportunities to partner with us and talking about what they will get for that and what the opportunities they have to use YEP as a you know, with the younger people in their organisations to help them get into the industry networking scene. So that's the next big push for us, is to try and bring on board some corporate partners working alongside our not-for-profit partners who we talked about previously.
And it's easy enough just to Google YEP Global and find out how to join and what's involved.
YEPglobal.com.
YEPglobal.com. Name one thing each that you should look for in a good property networking organisation.
So I network an awful lot. It's a massive part of our business because we are specialists in the industry. For me, a good networking event is about the breadth of people that attend, but also ideally something that you can take away from it. So whether that's a key learning from a really good speaker, or a fact that you didn't know before, or that you just had the opportunity to meet people you otherwise wouldn't get to meet through your day-to-day work. That's three reasons.
And if there is someone there that you wouldn't get to meet on a day-to-day basis, what would you suggest an attendee do at that event to make the most of that opportunity?
So I started networking at about 23, and I think sometimes you just have to take a deep breath and you walk over and you go, "Hi, I'm Sophie. You know, what's your name?" Or if you know who they are, say, "I really wanted to meet with you. I know that you've been involved in X and Y. Just really keen to have a chat." And most people will engage.
Great.
So it's, "Hi, I'm Sophie."
You don't, obviously you can use your own name.
Well, you could walk up to them, Johnny, and say, hi, I'm Sophie.
That will get your attention. Definitely get your attention, yeah.
That's true. So what do you reckon, Johnny? What's a good sign of a solid networking event?
I think one thing we always talk about is having an educational element to the event, because I think it's difficult. If someone in my team came to me and said, I want to go to a drinks event, and every time they came over and said, I want a drinks event, I'd think, well, you know, what else are you getting out of this? So we always try to make sure we've got a really good speaker or series of speakers, or you know, some of our events are educational learning events, training events. So I think it's a balance between, yeah, the social networking side of things, and also, but also the educational side of things.
Angelica?
I think for me, when we specifically look at networking, for the sake of networking only, the most important thing, and this may sound super obvious but it isn't, is actually being able to meet people at the event. I've been to countless events where there was just not enough time, or there were far too many people, or it was too noisy, or it was too dark and you couldn't see people's faces. Name tags are great, so at least you know who you're speaking to and where they work, because the hardest thing I've noticed, and I've been networking for over a decade, is when you turn up and you want to meet somebody but you just know their name, or you maybe vaguely know what they look like and you just can't find them. So being able to actually find people that you want to speak to, and having the space to go up to them and talk to them, that's the biggest thing for me, which makes a networking event successful or not.
Really good point. And actually, you've given me another question. What's your biggest bugbear with certain networking events? So what is it that's something you see too often that really like makes you go, that's not right, or that's not how it...
Loud music. Because you can't hear yourself think or speak to people.
Yeah, good one.
I was going to say the same thing, but another one is when you go to an event and they decide that they're going to separate you from all the people you might want to meet. So having an event where you don't have any networking time at all, and you're immediately directed to a table, which is great because then you meet 9 people, but having no chance to meet anybody else.
Yeah, good shout. Johnny?
Ooh. I think for me, it's I always struggle with round tables. I always struggle with table-based events where you end up talking to the 2 people sitting next to you, and perhaps not having the opportunity to move around and speak to different people. And that's something that, you know, inevitably that you do go to those types of events. But what, they're fun and they're enjoyable, but do you get enough out of it from a, you know, what you put into it in terms of walking away with some contacts and some good conversations? So for me, that would be the event where perhaps I enjoy them, but I don't get as much out of them from a networking or business perspective.
Interesting. Okay. I'm really sorry about the table that I've put here in between us all.
Don't worry.
All right. So I think that's, yep, in 30 minutes to 40 minutes or whatever it's been. But it's been a really good insight, and there's definitely some exciting stuff coming up. So keep an eye out. EG is a partner, and so certainly through our channels you'll see a few updates on what you guys are up to. I know you're doing some of your networking events at our Question Time events coming up as well all around the country. So keep an eye out for emails and whatnot on there. But thank you very much. Unless there's anything you want to add?
No, I think as you just said, regarding the Question Time events, we are looking to open chapters in several of the cities where you'll be holding your Question Time events. So it'd be great if people are there, if they touch base with our representatives at those events, and then if they're interested in being involved with any of the chapters, committees we're looking to create. Also, you will be going to Manchester and Cambridge, where we have established committees next. I think you're in Cambridge next, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Our guys will be there, so have a chat with them, get to know them, and see what they're up to in their respective chapters.
Johnny, Sophie and Angelica, thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.